T. Fanning, Reel 2.
Ben, say, he said, don't get worried, I'm going. He said, but I brought Mr. Fanning with me. What for? I said, I've given him my key. He said, well, what are you giving his key for? He says, he'll be there on Monday morning to meet the rent man. I don't want to see that you pay the rent. I'm expecting you to pay the rent. He said, he'll be there on Thursday morning to meet the charwoman. I'm expecting you to keep the house clean. You can't do that, you can't do this. I mean, that kid is so funny, you get no key off me. See? Yeah. Called on the phone, I said, I'll send for the police. I said, what can you do? Send for the police. Well, he knew enough about me that I'd stay.
Yeah.
And that the police knocked me off.
Yeah.
So, they said, well, they can't do that. Anyway, get out of this office, the pair of you. So we got out, and they got Ronnie all going. I forget what the figures were now, but the final figures for keeping them inside was four times more than what it was to keep them outside. I sent letters, you know, circulars to all the councillors. They had a big concerns, Dunlops and all the, what's it? So the chief of leaving officer sent me, and he was a gentleman. Oh, he said, you made a right stir here, Fanny. Look at this pal. Well, I said, you want him to come out then? Do they want him to come out? He said, yes. But he won't come out.
Oh,
he said, what do I want to come out for? I've got all the worry left off my head now. Of course, we've made this up with Pearson to do this.
Yeah.
So he said, well, go down to the old town hall and make an appointment with him for you to go and talk to Pearson and see if he'll come out. Well, we went the next morning. Well, Pearson kept it up for about a quarter of an hour. And I'm supposed to be coaxing him to come out. Anyway, finally come out. Went back to the old town hall. Give him a food voucher, and he also sent for the wife and kids to come out. See? So Pearson was going out, he said, all right, you can go now, Mr. Fanning. I said, what about me? He said, what about you? I said, he wants some reward. And Mr. Hinton or something like that, his name was, he said, you'd reward me if I got Pearson out. 17 bob food. You got up to all kind of tricks in those days. You got to all kind of tricks.
Any other sort of things that you can think of?
Pardon?
Any other sort of tricks that you can think of that you get up to?
Well, yes, there was one. And, one of the clerks in the PAC seen me selling programmes outside Main Road, Manchester City. See? So he reported me, because I wasn't reporting it to them. So, and he was after me, because he sent me on test work.
Yeah.
And I pulled off some good things there. I won 5 demands out of 6. But he was after me blood. Anyway, they've got me here now, so they give me an order for Turnstreet for 6 weeks. But not me. I'm going in no workhouse. This is at the Chorton Town Hall. And in those days, there was rope round the stone pillars. You know, there's rope round the stone pillars, what they used to announce the meetings or dances or whatever was on. So they sent for the sergeant come, got on me rope, jumped me through the passage. I said, don't put me over those steps, Sarge. I've got my scouts out, you know. Don't put me over those steps. You get in there and tell me you want to... you want a warrant. from your desk, which you wouldn't require, according to law. No, wouldn't require a warrant. Anyway, they left me there. I was there an hour trying to tie myself to this doings when he went back in, tie myself to this pillar. I hadn't got any scouts out, by the way.
You hadn't?
I hadn't got any scouts out.
Oh, yeah.
But he fell for it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I tied myself there, stood there for an hour, and I went. So, the next day I traversed Arbrick Green, Grosvenor Street, Stepford Road, and down Oxford Road, and outside the Daily Herald they caught on me. I've got two boards on me, victimisation, all that, you know. I thought it was going to pinch me, didn't he? He just stopped it with the boards. He knew what I was after. He knew I didn't care, the jails didn't worry me.
Yeah.
Were you ever engaged in fighting evictions?
Oh, yes. That was when I was in the Labour Party. And this was where the alternative accommodation was won. And I think the year was 1928. And there was four houses ready for falling down, you know. Being held up with those dudes, you know, deciding to knock them down. But there was no alternative accommodation offered. So we left with us in the Labour Party, I suppose with five members helping us, and we barricaded the street. Oh, sparks we got on the lot. Fire engines come, Black Mariah's come, police come. Anyway, didn't attack us or anything. So that eventually finished with accommodation being offered. Alternative accommodation. And then there was Glass Street that was opposite the gasworks. We'd agreed that the furniture should go to the what's it centre to be cleansed, you know.
Fumigated.
But they got a letter to say to deliver themselves as well to the Lee Street bus. Of course, naturally, they objected. We went along and we barricaded that. So that was withdrawn. We didn't object to the furniture because all the houses in the room was full of bugs.
Yeah.
There's no use taking furniture in another house. So we won that.
Was that a usual thing to get people to go into the workhouse for or to the baths to be cleansed before they went into new houses? Was that something that happened very often?
Oh, I don't know of any case where somebody leaving the house was put in the workhouse meanwhile. No, I don't know anybody that though.
But they would send them to the baths sometimes, would they?
Pardon?
They'd send them to the baths.
No, this was to the baths. This was only... Send them to the bath and deliver themselves to the bath for the bath.
Yeah, yeah.
You see, well, it doesn't say that because a person lives in a buggy house, he's dirty.
It's dirty, yeah.
We objected to it.
And people objected to that sort of thing.
Yes, of course all the neighbours came out and we roused the place up first. Yeah. Got support.
Yeah.
Then in Hume, Sir Osborne Mosley never got a say.
Mm-hmm.
He never got a say in him. First time he come, he was opening a club in Tomlinson Street, on the side of Stepford Road. Soon Town Hall was over there. And I'm in a meeting in the hometown hall anyway. We went down the street, shouting the odds and everything. And we got the crowds out. Hardly anybody went in the town hall. And then he came out early because there's nobody in. Came out about 9 o'clock, where the meetings usually were about 10. Then he went to this club in Tomlinson Street, and we surrounded it, and we kept him there till 3:30 in the morning. 19 workers were arrested that night.
Mm.
And one of my pals there, it was a bookmaker's runner.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very good to me as well, knowing what good I was doing in the doings. And there was a pub there, opposite this place where we were opening this club, a little checklist pub. He'd gone in there, come out, and was knocked up. So he's telling me about this. I said, I'll tell you what to do. When you get in the dock, just tell me you've gone in there for refreshment. And when you come out, you saw all these crowds milling and everything, and you were suddenly arrested. He said, and tell them that you don't know anything about the black shirts and their dairy worker.
Hi, hi.
Case dismissed.
And did he get off?
Eh?
Did he get off or?
Case dismissed. That was it. I don't know anything that he did, you know. I don't know anything about these black shirts and the daily worker. Go, case dismissed that way. Oh, he used to play all kinds of strokes and tricks.
Do you remember something about being when they used to send the unemployed for test work?
Test work?
Aye.
Oh yes. Aye. I was sent to Widdin.
Some places call it test work, other places dust work.
Yeah.
We called it test work.
Aye.
Anyway, yes, I was sent down to Widdington. Aye. I got amongst them. Oh, and when I went there, the taskmaster, he says, do you know anything about picking potatoes? Sarcastic, you know. I said, yes. Out of gravy. But he said, there's a big field over there. He says, you'll go with them men. It was only on 10 minutes, started spitting. Come on, lads! All up! All up! Hey, what's it? I said, look at them shoes, I said. I said, some of them lads got wearing the worst of mine. I said, we got you killers, man. I'm at it. Got the workhouse master, kept it going. That finished up, the shoes being issued, clogs. And shoes for men that were very badly shot. But dead men's shoes. One got poison in his foot. And he'd been given a pair of shoes, although it wasn't due to that. But we made it up it was. And we got a item in the Daily Herald. But it's got get up to all kind of manner of tricks. Another one was that the potatoes that we used to pick were King Edward potatoes. And on amongst the test workers was a lot of the Harkers, who had been caught fiddling. You know, earning money without being on the PAC.
Yeah.
So they went on test work to see that they can't go out fiddling. So and they knew all about potatoes and all that, of course. So I got a write-up in the paper again, and a rat squeal, that the patients were being served with bags from the market. And in those days, you could get a bag of potatoes for the shilling.
Yeah.
We'd been fed on them, and nobody knew where these best potatoes were going to King Edward's. What was an art squeal?
And was it true?
Was this all that was true?
That actually
happened. Oh, yes, all that was true.
And where were the good potatoes?
We never found out.
You never found out.
But there's the squeal. We used to get up to all kind of manner of tricks.
There was a great humour then, if I'm not interpreting here. I've no doubt Tommy has lots of examples of this. I know one lad, he was a bit lame as well. And they told him he'd got to go and pick potatoes as well. He said, tell the farmer to pick them, he kens where he put them.
Oh, I used to get up to all kind of manner of tricks. You had to do it in them days.
How did you first get involved with left-wing politics?
Pardon?
How did you first get involved?
Well, I came out of the army in 1923. Mm. I'd done 3 years in Burma.
Had you been working before going into the army?
Eh?
Had you been working?
Oh, I'd been working at a rubber works.
At a rubber works.
Solid tyres it was in them days. Yeah. Now, I went in the army in 1918. Mm. Tell you a funny story about this. Mm. I volunteered. Because there's no politics then. No knowledge of politics of any kind. Yeah. So, but I made an advert appear in the paper that if you could join the army, the Royal Air Corps at 17 and 10 months and be taught a trade. Mm-hmm. So I wrote to my father, who was serving in the York and Lancs. Thought it was a good idea. Presented myself. Instead of finding myself in the Air Force, they put me in the infantry. First stop, Dublin. Okay. Then afterwards, I took on for 4 years. I liked the army. Yeah. I took on for 4 years and went to Burma. Came out in finished in 1923. Went back to my old job, but rationalisation set in. Out.
Yeah.
So I began to go to Stevenson Square and listen to the spouters and started reading books, and I was in the Labour Party till they made it uncomfortable for me. I was a divisional executive member for 5 years, but the object of me associating with communists in the NWM.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps I made a mistake. Instead of letting them throw me out, I threw myself out,
yeah,
joined the party. Because yeah, hungry men can't wait. Wanted action.
Just turn the tape over. Just, you were making an interesting point there. You were saying that...
I have wondered what happened to Jock.
Yeah. But the people, when they came back from Spain, felt very different.
But again, he was a damn good soldier.
He was indeed. He was a hero.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Jock, by the way, before Spain, was sentenced to 4 years for allegedly leading a mutiny in Jamaica while he was in some Fusiliers, some kind of Fusiliers.
No, it was a Scottish regiment, wasn't it?
I did read
the story and I forgot.
Years later, when I was visiting Ted Edwards, along with Sam Wilde at Wakefield Prison, Ted was a Manchester comrade. We were walking around with him for well over an hour in the yard with Ted Edwards. We gave him daily workouts, tobacco, everything. And there was a warder sitting there on a chair in this yard, excessive yard, not taking a blind bit of notice. Mm. And Ted explained that he hadn't been long in Wakefield when the warder said, "You fought in Spain, have you?" The reason Ted was in jail, by the way, he got a job as secretary to a territorial unit. Mm-hmm. And while he was doing that job, he came across a circular from the War Office to all army and territorial units, say that should any ex-member of the International Brigade apply or know a comp whether to be admitted. And instead of copying a thing, Ted...
He got 2 years and he didn't work for
it. He was sentenced to 18 months. Yeah. And when we visited him, he was in Wakefield. Yeah. But this warder had said to him, "You weren't in Spain, didn't you?" He said, "I'd a mate." He said he got done in Jamaica for leading a mutiny, a large mutiny in Jamaica. And Ted said, "Jock Cunningham, I." And as soon as he knew that Ted knew Jock Cunningham, life was easy in that moment. And
yeah,
I'm saying it and so forth. It shows in the strangest places how things will happen.
I remember, I think it was the second day. And of course, the battalion had been messed up with then. And we're all stood on a hill. Over there is the road. So a camion come along with a big bowl of, you know, the big iron bowls of coffee. Mm. You know, and what else, yeah. So I went down with two men to our rations, back for our little group. So when we got there, and I've always been a bugger first thing in the morning, I'm no good till I've had a nut ring.
Mm, yes.
Morgan. Been like that all my life. I don't wake up till I've had that.
Mm-hmm.
I went down. Camions. Everybody died, you know, after the loading to the tea. Johnny stopped there. There he is. You know, with his tin cup. Of course, we're watching this from the hill. So when we got to the top, they went away and we threw gas. He's going to the top. Green is put his fist in my chin. If I ever see you do it like that again, I'll let you have it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I said, give over. Give over. And I said, he said you might have been killed. I said, what did that matter? What did that drink? Put his fist in my chin. If you ever see you do that again, bloody bullets going all the way around.
Spain followed the Iberians all through the war in the army. In the army. I'm saying any lad who had been in Spain, his record followed him all through the years of the war in the army. I was sent for my first day at Dochengate training camp in Ayrshire, which later became known as Dundonald training camp, by the colonel for the camp, to be warned as to my conduct. Why have I been warned?
Yeah.
Who was supposed to be at war against?
Yeah.
You're warning me because I was fighting them that early.
Well, Teddy Edwards that he was spoke about, he was called up.
Yeah.
He went to the RAF.
Yeah.
Forget the place he was at. Then one day, he went to the order room, you know. He goes to the order room, gets a piece of paper, service is no longer required.
Yeah.
And get out of this camp. You know, with my suit, get out of this camp. We want you out within 2 hours.
Yeah.
Eh? So goes back to the up, Teddy. Starts back, he says, well, where are you going? Eh? He says, they're chucking me out of the army. He says, what for? He says, I'm a commie. I'm a communist. He said, all the bloody camp was coming and stuff.
That's true. After Mick Bennett, remember, was it Ted Willis? Were chucked out earlier in the war. Christ, all sorts of people were claiming to be communists. There's another funny thing. When eventually we went into a unit, I became friendly. He became friendly with me with the orderly room sergeant, and he confided in me that every month, without fail, a stupid circular arrived with the same questions every month from the field security personnel, and the questions were: what is his character? A, as a man, B, as a soldier.
Yeah.
Is he a barrack room lawyer?
Yeah.
Is there any evidence that he is indulging in subversive propaganda? And then this is a prize question of the lot. Is there any evidence that he is distributing subversive literature, i.e. fascist, communist, IRE? And then when I went up to Greenock after an awful fight, I got a telegram saying you're candidating Greenock for a by-election, which I thought was Gunnar Cooney.
Yeah.
While I was there, I got a telegram: it is thought you should not wear uniform while on a public platform. I replied, as long as the lieutenant commanders can wear uniform, we can wear uniform. The result of that was, following the election, an addition to army orders that in future no rank should wear uniform in a public office. So we deprived the
men.
Then this circular that they sent every month, it became a weekly circular all the time I was up in Greenock, where it was eventually withdrawn anyway, but had 2 glorious months up there. And it said, on the platform, Gunnar Cooney indulged in a very severe and sarcastic criticism of the leadership of the British Army in general and the leadership of 541 Battery in particular. So I wasn't very popular when I went back.
I'll tell you one story about Hunger March. It was the 31 Hunger March. And we got down to Stratford-on-Avon. Well, we used to try and make arrangements with the local poor law authorities, PAC, whatever you call him in them days, and they'd give us their ashes and we'd make it up, you know, with our own.
Mm-hmm.
When we slept in the corn exchange that night, but they wouldn't make any arrangements with us. So coming out of the Corn Exchange, we went to their hospital plus workhouse, and there's a big tin shed, corrugated tin shed, to put us in there. Well, it'd been done deliberate without any doubt. Not an Englishman, he's for a cup of tea, don't he? But it's 10 times worse than railway tea. It was a deliberate insult without any doubt. They'd have been clean if they'd have been washing their bare feet in it. Put it that way, yeah. It was terrible.
Yeah.
And the lads smelt it in a minute. So those that had sticks were helping along. And was corrugated iron. So the superintendent in charge, he demanded me a gentle thanks. It was like a bloody barrel. Very fat. He ordered a charge.
Yeah.
Well, we fought them for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Anyway, they rounded us up. See? And did mobilise the Warwickshire Police for this. They rounded us all up. See? And they studied the matter to who to knock up. The all of the March Council. Well, one or two like discussing this. And you could tell the Cats Council members, they had a, what's it, an arm or something. And I was one of them. So, you're not genuine and unemployed. You're nothing but a lot of communists. Could say communist. You're nothing but a lot of communists. And you'll pay for this. You, see? So one of them says, and I don't know which one it was, back towards him. Oh, I said, that doesn't matter. Shakespeare will be looking on. The penny dropped in a minute. The penny dropped in a minute. Because if there had been a trial,
yeah.
And Stratford and Avon is a place for...
Yes.
The visitors all over the world. You know, it all passed through his mind quick.
Yeah.
Anyway, they marched us to the Buckinghamshire border, and there one constable who was retiring in 6 months, they led a lot of us to the workhouse there. Mm-hmm. Ooh, lovely white sheets, lovely meal and it cost Warwickshire more than what it cost Buckinghamshire County.
Many a bumble had to eat humbled by.
Yeah. I says, you're not genuine unemployed, you're nothing but a lot of communists. I wouldn't say communists.
You mentioned earlier when you were working with the unemployed that you were harassed a lot by the police.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone working. What sort of form would this harassment take?
Well, it took this, a little bit of upset occurred.
Yeah.
If you was a non-speaker, or a known face or anything like that, simply knock you off.
Yeah.
In fact, half of us that were tried were men who had not been, they'd been in the march and all that, but they hadn't done anything. Mm-hmm. They were simply knocked off because they were known.
Yeah.
Because the ordinary citizen, believe me, you can be walking along the street and a policeman has the power to put on a matter of 120 charges against you.
Yeah.
Then another one is this. They take you to a what's it called? Summary court.
Mm.
The weight of evidence can be against you,
yeah.
But they can still find the verdict against you, forcing you to go to an out of court.
Yeah.
But unemployed men in those days couldn't afford that.
Yeah.
Or perhaps even now. Couldn't afford to go to an high court.
Yeah. So plead guilty and get
that's how they do it.
Yeah.
In those days, I was talking about harassment, Tom Mann and Councillor Llewellyn, they were arrested, and Hunger Marks to London, they were arrested, they were taken before Sir Charles Byron, who explained to them, there's no charge laid against you, but I'm going to bind the two of you over for 2 months.
Yeah.
For 12 months.
Yeah.
What's the alternative? See? 2 months. They took the 2 months, prepared it. Went down.
Mm.
Yeah. See, things like that can occur.
Yeah.
But the dice is very heavily laid against you.
Yeah.
Tom Mann got that before the general strike.
Yes.
He was called, you know, in 1925, when it was obvious that the general strike was coming, he refused to be bound off for 3 months to keep the peace.
Went down by the same
he needed it.
But then again, when he come out, they felt there they are in the country with him. Little there they are in the country. And when he smacks us one way, we could smack back another.
Yeah.
Another old technique of the police was accidentally treading on you. Grinding their heels.
All kind of tricks.
Yeah. And then apologising when you
were accidentally on purpose. They all kind of tricks.
Eoghan Ferguson in Scotland had a great name for them. He called them great monuments to oatmeal.
Now, when I went down for my 4 months, I was arrested at 20 minutes to 4 in Albert Square by an elderly copper. And I'm not saying that he shouldn't.